The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host, Chris Capone, joined alongside Evan Davis. Now, Evan, it was a busy offseason in the MLB, but no team was busier than the LA Dodgers. Now, Evan, since you're from LA, what do you make of the Dodgers' offseason acquisitions?
It was a very busy offseason for the LA Dodgers. It started off with Shohei Ohtani, a guy that Andrew Friedman and staff had been planning a very long time for. This was 2 years of signing other free agents to one-year deals just to have the money available for Shohei Ohtani. I wasn't expecting a 10-year, $700 million contract, but that's the world that we live in. And then to culminate it in December with Yoshinobu Yamamoto with a 10-year, $325 million contract, going out and getting Tyler Glass now and then signing him to a 4-year, $110 million extension. It was a lot of big names, big fish coming to the LA Dodgers, and I'm very excited to see this team play.
Now, one of the parts of Ohtani's deal is having the deferred money, basically making only 2 million over the next 10 years. So what do you make on the concept of Ohtani's deferred money? What do you personally think about it?
Well, look, I mean, it's within the CBA that teams have the right to defer money. And, I was thinking about it, like 68 million of his 70 a year is deferred. And it's a crazy number to think about the fact that he's only going to be making 2 million in salary this year up until his contract ends, when he'll then make 68. But I don't know if I honestly love it, just because that's so much in deferred money that the Dodgers are just going to be paying a lucrative amount for guys that aren't going to be on the team.
Yeah, that's one of the big aspects about it, especially with Ohtani, where his money's like 680 million of it is deferred out of the 700. But even players like Teoscar Hernandez, who they signed for a one-year deal, where 15 million they're spending straight up this year and 8 million they're spending down the line. Is what the Dodgers doing good for baseball necessarily? Because personally, I don't believe that it is. I think that having this deferred money gives the Dodgers a secondary tier, puts them way ahead of other teams like a Toronto, like a San Francisco, even San Francisco in the same state as the Dodgers, isn't able to live up to, in the eyes of free agents, the glamour and glitz of LA.
I think it is good for baseball just from the aspect that there's a lot of owners out there in the MLB that are ridiculously cheap. And you can even look at an example of the Oakland Athletics owner who's worth billions of dollars but is reluctant to spend. The Dodgers are in a fortunate position where ownership has the money and the capabilities to do this, but it wasn't always like this for the Dodgers. When Magic Johnson and the team and his group bought the Dodgers, that's when we really started to notice these lucrative deals, because before then, our ownership was very cheap and very reluctant to spend top dollars. So I think it's good for baseball. And you can honestly see it with the Baltimore Orioles selling their team, because now they're going to be a team that's going to be able to spend top dollar as well. So I think it just comes down to owners having money, but the Dodgers just have owners that actually are willing to spend.
Now, the Dodgers didn't only just sign players, they also traded for and traded away some key aspects of their team. They traded for Tyler Glasnow, which I believe can have the makings of a good deal, but you have to remember, Tyler Glasnow has not pitched over 120 innings. The only time he's done it has pitched 120 was this past year. Now, believing if he's going to stay healthy for the entirety of his contract, getting him in only 4 years, 110 million, I believe it'll be great. But some of the prospects they traded away, what do you feel about that?
I think with the Dodgers, it seems like their philosophy going forward is a six-man rotation. So I don't really think you need Tyler Glasnow for 25 starts. I think you can get away with 20, because with the Dodgers, the season doesn't start till October. It's been like that for a very long time. And in regards to who they traded away, Ryan Pepiot was beloved within the Dodgers. There were a lot of people on Dodgers Twitter who were very hesitant about Ryan Pepiot being involved in the deal. And, I look at it, Pepiot wasn't healthy a lot last year either. He's also dealt with injuries. It was a reason why He didn't start on the Dodgers opening day roster because he was injured. And when you look at a guy like Johnny DeLuca, who they also gave away, I mean, he's really good defensively, but offensively, he's kind of, whatever. And he doesn't fit into the Dodgers' timeline in terms of like their 5-year plan down the line. There's just no room for DeLuca in the lineup. So I think I'm okay with giving away Pepiot and DeLuca because at some point, like prospects just, they don't. At some point, you overage of being a prospect. And DeLuca's 25 years old, and his time isn't with LA.
With Ohtani and Yamamoto, the Dodgers are obviously the favorites for this upcoming year and probably for the next 10 years. Probably for the entirety of Ohtani's contract, they'll be the favorites. How far do the Dodgers have to go in the postseason each year, pretty much, to not be considered a failure? I'd say for the first 3 years, I'm expecting the Dodgers to at least be in the NLCS. Anything less than that, I feel is a failure. If they aren't constantly in the top four remaining teams, that's a wasted season because you have this talent with Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow. You have all of these players that are wanting to win, taking pay cuts, taking 1-year deals to come to the Dodgers to win. Anything less than even an NLCS berth is a complete failure for the organization.
Yeah, and I don't know, I was thinking about it, like I firmly believe that Dave Roberts might be like coaching for his job, like he might be like playing for his job right now too, because the last 2 years have been very disappointing in the postseason, and there's some message that's not getting across that the Dodgers seamlessly struggle tremendously, and I agree that I'm within these next 3 years, I think they have to win a World Series. Like there's too much now on this roster where I'm looking at the contracts in whole. You have Yamamoto for 12 years, you have Ohtani for 10 years. I'm thinking if they don't win at least two World Series in that time, it's gonna be a failure. I think 2 to 3 is realistic and fair. I mean, obviously you're not gonna win it every single year in baseball. It's proven that a three-peat hasn't happened since the Yankees back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So I think if you could get 2 to 3 World Series with this team, it's a success. But if they don't get to the NLCS even this year, I think it's a failure.
Yeah, this team with the players that are now going to come, even just this past offseason, you got Teoscar Hernandez. Other down the line, players are going to want to take pay cuts and they're going to want to come to the Dodgers and help them win a World Series. They want to be in the bright lights of LA in meaningful October and even November baseball going all the way to the World Series. They want to be a part of that. And I feel like even if the Dodgers weren't to get it done this year, if they were to lose in the World Series or NLCS, I feel like the Dodgers have put such a big target on their backs as a coveted place for free agents to want to go and also teams want to beat. It's already a big thing in sports to have the beat LA chance whenever the LA teams are in the arena. But whenever the Lakers, Dodgers, or anybody big from LA is in an enemy arena, beat LA is always chanted. So I feel like mainly the two free agent signings of Yamamoto and Ohtani have put such a big target on the Dodgers' backs that I think that it'll eventually lead to, I'd say, 3 World Series just because the villains always somehow win. Everybody loves the villains in baseball, and I think the Dodgers have completely embraced that role of being the villains of the sport.
Yeah, I you're right, but I think it's not only just because of the free agents that they're able to acquire or sign during the offseason, but they're also a team that has built their farm system really well, and that's what's also allowed for them to get a guy like Mookie Betts, who you traded away Jeter Downs and Connor Wong and Alex Verdugo, and now only Connor Wong is left on the team there. And you have guys like Dalton Rushing. I believe the Dodgers have 5 prospects in the top 100, which is crazy to think because they're usually drafting late, and given the luxury tax implications, they don't really get a first round pick because of like the rules within Major League Baseball. Like I'm trying to remember, I think Bobby Miller might have been their last like true first round pick, and now he's thriving in the major leagues, won 11 games his first year. But I think that's what also embodies the villain, is that Andrew Friedman and his staff have just done a great job at evaluating talent and finding ways to fill those holes, when because you're not going to have nine guys that are all-star level players. You have to turn them into them at some point. And with a guy like James Outman and Max Muncy, who you got Outman in the fifth round and you got Muncy off free agency because nobody wanted him, and you signed him to a minor league deal. It's finding the little holes. And I think people in Major League Baseball hate the Dodgers because they're able to turn nothing into something.
Yeah, I want to give full props to the Dodgers scouting staff. The way they've built up their farm system has been unprecedented. Now, one last question I'd want to ask is, with the reporting of the Ohtani situation, what were your thoughts on that fateful Friday where John Morosi said he was on a flight to Toronto?
Yeah, it's actually funny because, so like at our school, TMU, there's a newspaper, like not a newspaper, but like a website article that's run by the students called Over the Line Sports. And everyone was saying, oh my God, in our Discord chat, like, oh my God, Ohtani's coming to Toronto. Ohtani's coming to Toronto. And they were all flipping out about the Morosi thing. And all I had sent a picture of was like someone who photoshopped Ohtani in a Dodgers jersey. And I said, don't worry, guys, tomorrow I'll have the article out about Ohtani being a Dodger. And they're like, oh, whatever. And then Friday hits, and I was like, I got the article ready for you. So I don't know. I do believe it was like a marketing tactic by Ohtani's agent to make the Dodgers give him that extra $100 million, because I think that's what they ended up really wanting, was this insane $700 million deal. So when they said to Morosi or whoever, Ohtani's on his way to Toronto, that's when Andrew Friedman was like, I mean, what's 100 million more when you're already giving up 600 at the time? Like, the Dodgers as an organization are going to make this money back, especially with Yamamoto now. They're going to make this money back within 5, 6 years, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was thinking about, because everybody clearly tracked Robert Hirschevik's flight, right? So what I'm wondering is, were Ohtani's agents looking at the flight list, seeing, oh, there's a flight from Anaheim to Toronto? I wonder if we can get away with saying to Morosi that this is the plane and we're on our way to Toronto. And I wonder if that's what Morosi thought and was sticking with that plan until, because it was like a good hour and a half where, like, it was Ohtani's on his way to Toronto, and there was just silence. It was just that one tweet, and even MLB retweeted it, all that stuff.
I never understood like the rumors about Ohtani coming to Toronto. They were saying, oh, it's the only thing the country cares about. Like, there's only the Blue Jays here, and then he'll really be the face. But then he can also, like, I mean, you're not flying under the radar, but with the media not being as heavy here. And it's also just what sucks for Toronto is the fact that like games don't count towards like the viewership of like ESPN or whatever. So the thing is like the Blue Jays really couldn't afford it because their TV deal isn't as rich as a team like the Dodgers or any team that plays in the US, because like I said, like the Toronto games don't count towards like their marketing numbers, like their viewership numbers. So I never really understood it, but I guess, I'm the Dodger fan, you're the Blue Jays fan. What did you think of like the Yamamoto signing? Because I haven't really heard what you had to say. And there were reports about the Mets offered the exact same contract, but then he ended up going to the Dodgers and now really joining a super team.
I think with Yamamoto, it came down to obviously, yeah, the Mets and the Dodgers. I never really thought he was going to go to the Yankees. I know the Yankees brought out Matsui and all the other Japanese players that played for their organization, but I never thought he was going to be a Yankee, because the Yankees were so set on having Gerrit Cole as the highest paid pitcher. So they didn't want to mess up Cole's mojo, I guess. I guess that's very sentimental to him. But I always thought it was just going to be between the Mets and the Dodgers because one, the Mets had Kodai Senga, another teammate, former teammate on the Japanese team with Yamamoto, and then obviously the Dodgers having Ohtani. It's really what came down to, I believe, with the same amount of money, where are you going to win more? And obviously Yamamoto saw, well, if I go to the Dodgers, I'm more than likely going to win a World Series in the next 3 years than I would if I were to sign with the Mets. So obviously with the same amount of money, it was really a no-brainer for Yamamoto to decide to go to the Dodgers. If the Mets offered more, like almost closer to 400 million, then I'd believe it'd be a harder decision for Yamamoto, but obviously same money, same terms, same everything. You're going to go to the Dodgers over the Mets right now.
Yeah, it's the one thing that I found interesting though was that John Morosi ironically reported that so like Gerrit Cole has a player option after this year where the Mets can not the Mets, I'm sorry, the Yankees can add a 10th year and make his contract now worth 10 years over 360 million. So that's what I didn't understand with like Gerrit Cole saying, "Oh, like I don't want him to make more than me because then Yamamoto technically wouldn't be making more than him." I just think it was a tactic by the Yankees saying, like, we tried what we could, but in the end, like, Gerrit Cole's our scapegoat. We didn't want him to be paid. We didn't want him to be the second highest paid player or highest paid pitcher in our organization. I don't know. It seemed like they were gung ho on 300 million, and if they couldn't get him then they weren't going to get him. I guess we can dive in into some of the other guys, like James Paxton signed a 1 year. Now they're saying it's a $7 million deal. The Dodgers brought back Jason Hayward 1 year, 9 million. Joe Kelly 1 year, 8 million. The one guy I'm hoping that Andrew Friedman brings back is Ryan Brazier, the other right-handed reliever, because in 37 innings with the Dodgers, he had a 0.7 ERA, which I is just ridiculous after having a seven or like a five or a six with the Red Sox. And like we knew the talent was there. He's had good years. It's just whatever reason last year was an off year in Boston. But I'm hoping he's still on the market.
Yeah, bringing back a Jason Hayward, bringing back a Joe Kelly, I think that's really good for the Dodgers, giving them that supplemental depth that they, because Hayward was really good for them last year, and I feel like
Yeah.
not many people talk about that. Being able to keep Hayward is such a big thing for the Dodgers. Being able to keep that consistency, being friends with Freddie Freeman, being able to keep pieces like that is really what makes the Dodgers so scary. Even signing a James Paxton with that potential injury, I don't know the whole deal about it. They said it had to go down, but it can end up going back up to 13 million if
Yeah.
he's healthy and roster bonuses and
Yeah, there's like a
games
bunch of
pitched.
like incentives. So it's like 1 year, 7 million guaranteed, but then he gets like X amount for however many starts and like if he's on the roster and everything. But you talk about Jason Hayward, you're right. Like, I don't think people are realizing he had an 813 OPS last year in 124 games. He batted 269 with 15 home runs and I mean, he was really good. 15 home runs, 40 RBIs, batting in the bottom of the lineup, and he had a 340 on base percent.
Being able to keep him just for 1 year, 9 million, that's such a good get for them. That money's not really going to affect them anyway because it's only 1 year. But that's really good value for an outfielder. Like they signed Teoscar Hernandez for 1 year, 23 million. And Teoscar had a, I'd say, a bad year last year. But I sent the Foolish Baseball video before of him trying to stretch singles into doubles and getting thrown out like 90% of the time. Like he's one of the worst base runners in baseball, I'd say. And he's also not a great outfielder. Like his defense is one of the reasons why he got traded from Toronto, just because sometimes he seems lackadaisical in the outfield. But I still think even just having him as probably hit around 25 home runs, just because people are going to want to pitch to Teoscar instead of Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani. That's what
Yeah,
makes it
like,
so dangerous.
yeah, like, I mean, Teoscar had 26 home runs, 93 RBIs last year, but he had a 740 OPS. So it's like, if he's not hitting home runs, he's really only hitting like singles. Like, you're not really seeing many extra base hits outside of when he hits a home run. And I forgot about that we had him because I don't even know where you slot him in the lineup. Like, is he your five hitter? Is he your four hitter? Like, is he the sixth hitter? Like, I don't even know where you put him in the lineup? Like, does now Will Smith become your sixth hitter, which is just ridiculous to say that a top three catcher in baseball is going to be batting starting in the second inning. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen with the lineup construction.
Yeah, that's a really big issue for, or not a big issue. It's a good problem to have with Dave Roberts, to have all of this talent, the homegrown talent that of the Dodgers. It's a good problem to have if you're Dave Roberts.
So I'm trying to think, the 2021 Dodgers won 106 games. I think this team, like, I think what the record's like 118 games or something like that, like the Cubs. Yeah, the 1906 Cubs had 116 victories.
Yeah.
I think this year's Dodgers can break that record, but I'm curious to hear what your opinion is.
I think 116 games for a full season is a lot. That is over 75% of all the games that you'd have to win.
Yes.
In like you said, the Dodgers season doesn't really start until October anyway, right? So I feel like April, they could start off slow, just trying to get adjusted to everybody on the team. Obviously, Ohtani isn't pitching this year. I feel like if Ohtani was pitching this year, it's a different question because you're going to have Yamamoto, Glasnow, Ohtani, Miller, everybody
Ilya.
healthy. Yeah. 116 is a lot of games.
Yeah, well, because keep in mind, they won 100 games last year, and that was with a very depleted starting rotation. So I don't know. That's my whole philosophy is like, you won 100 games where guys like Emmett Sheehan, Bobby Miller, Michael Grove, like you're playing bullpen games a lot. So I just think with the reinforcements they brought in, who's to say that out of those one-run games they lost, it turns into a win?
I'll say this, if any team could beat the record, it would be the Dodgers. The Dodgers season, like you said earlier, the Dodgers season doesn't start until October. So having everybody healthy to get to the finish line is the most important thing. There might be days where Ohtani just takes off completely, like and Teoscar DHs or something like that. That's what I feel like what would happen is they're going to be very cautious with the team. They're going to put basically everybody in bubble wrap. I'm sure they'd be fine just winning like 96 games, something like that. They'd be
Well, they
fine.
might need to win 100 just to win the division. I feel like with Arizona,
Yeah.
yeah, you're right about the bubble wrap thing because I think Dave Roberts said like Bueller might not even pitch until what the season starts in April or like it starts doesn't start like
So it starts
mid-April,
at end of March.
end of March, oh, end of
Yeah.
March, early April. They were saying like Bueller might not even pitch until May just because
Yeah.
you want him to be like 100%. Like you can get away without him. And I think that's why they signed all these starting pitchers was I firmly believe they're going a six-man rotation because that's also what Yamamoto's used to in Japan.
Thank you once again to my co-host Evan Davis for showing up for another episode on the Breaking News Bears podcast. And next week, we're going to be talking about some of the other free agent signings other than the Dodgers. We're going to be going in on the Astros, stuff like that, other predictions for the upcoming MLB season. That'll just about do it. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.